You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It is Wednesday, and it means it's time to talk our state's history with our partners at the Michigan History Center.
If we have to go to the White House, I'm going as myself.
You have to think about your dream and what you want to do.
What it means is open up your goddamn market the way we've opened up ours.
January 1st ushered in a change of Michigan's governor. The beginning of Governor Gretchen Whitmer's administration is likely going to bring many new approaches to high-profile issues such as Line 5 and changes in the way our state is governed. One change that has kind of flown under the radar is the fact that the governor's family is back living in the official residence in Lansing, a home last occupied in 2010 by Governor Jennifer Granholm's family. So let's talk a little about the history of the governor's residence with state archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey. Welcome back to Stateside, Mark, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
So why is this the governor's residence and not the governor's mansion?
There's always been a call for a governor's mansion. That's pretty common in most states. It's the top official for the state, and most people think there should be a dedicated residence for that individual, but that's not always the case. There are states like New York that have a very elaborate mansion where the governor resides in Albany. But Michigan's never actually had a mansion. We have a residence.
A residence. We should say this, no mansion, but Michigan's governors get a pretty sweet summer residence, don't they?
They do. In 1945, you know, understand, we were a state in 1837, but in 1945, the governor was allocated a summer residence, cottage, let's put quotes around that, on Mackinac Island. So while we might not have a mansion like New York State, our governor has a summer residence on Mackinac Island. Try to beat that.
Yes, very much, very much. But were there efforts to get a mansion through the years?
So we've only had a full-time legislature since 1963. So before that, you have to set the context that this was essentially a part-time legislature, including the governor for all intents and purposes. But Austin Blair, right around the time of the Civil War, started calling for there really needs to be an official residence for the governor. We should take this seriously. This wasn't a high-paying job, and at the very least, they should have a residence for the governor so that they could conduct business throughout the year in Lansing, even though the legislature wasn't there. And after Blair, you start seeing in the annual messages of the governors at the very end of all of their annual speech, which is essentially the state of the state, at the end, they would reserve a little section that said, you really need to do something about this official residence. And then it really started to culminate in the 1940s after they got that summer residence on Mackinac Island. They said, well, we should have one in Lansing as well. But politically, that didn't really fly because you have veterans coming back from World War II. There was a housing shortage. There actually was a house in Lansing called the Orlando Barnes Mansion. It was a palatial Victorian mansion that was, I think it was around 17,000 square feet.
Hmm.
It had been vacant and it had been offered to the state for a dollar. And the Michigan Society of Architects did a review of the structure for feasibility, and they determined it would take about $250,000 in that ballpark to refurb it. But at the time, the governor just didn't want to spend money on one residence when he had veterans returning home without a place to live.
Bad optics. And that was a lot of money in 1945.
It was. And it's post-war. And also, an interesting side note is the Society of Architects were led by an architect named Ken Black, and they were all influenced by Walter Gropius's Bauhaus, school of design. So think East Lake Victorian and then a bunch of Bauhaus devotees. It didn't really...
Not a good mix.
I think the writing was on the wall, even if it cost $100.
So how did the governor finally get a residence?
So you have to fast forward all the way up to 1969 when a gentleman named Howard Sober, who had spent his early career perfecting automotive trailers, so those car carriers that you see on the roads.
Yeah.
Those were essentially invented and perfected by Howard Sober with his Howard Sober Transport Company in Lansing. And he had built a very fancy house in 1959, and he offered it to the state because he felt strongly that the governor should have an official residence in 1969 when Governor Milliken was becoming governor.
And I have actually been to this residence. It's a ranch. It's big and sprawling, and it's lovely, but it's a 50s ranch.
It is a 50s ranch.
So here we have the state of Michigan created 1837, gets a 50s ranch house for the governor. Was there any controversy over the choice of this house?
Yeah, I think the controversy was not just over the choice of it, which was really secondary to the fact that even though Mr. Sober donated the house, there was the small hiccup of that he wanted to be paid for the furnishings and artwork collection that was in the house. So they didn't just give the house empty. They said, you can have the house for free, but oh, by the way, we would like you to pay for the furnishings and the artwork that we've collected.
And did the state pay up?
Yeah, it was in the papers. It was lots of controversy. And I think the final sum was around $210,000. But what it really spawned was this private organization of donors, of, you know, a nonprofit organization that basically administers the contents of the house moving forward. So all the governors since Milliken that have lived there have had access to this 501c3 organization that helps with things like furnishings and whatnot. The property itself is managed by the State Department of Management and Budget. But that's just the structure. The inside of it is managed by this 501c3.
Okay.
So that we don't have any use of state funds for luxury items. You know, no $100 hammers there.
Now, has this house at the is the official governor's residence, has it been updated since 1959?
Yeah, when Governor Granholm was there, they went through a renovation project to update some things and also add on separate living quarters. So when I don't know if when you were there that was done or not, but there was, for added security and just for some space for the first family to be, you know, cordoned off, they created an addition and updated most of the house. That famously is why Governor Granholm and her family, during the renovations, had their dinner served on a picnic table in the garage. that picnic table is now in the Michigan History Museum. But instead of, you know, they didn't want to be fawned over or given special treatment, they just took their dinners in the garage.
That's pretty great. And we know Governor Snyder took the position of thanks but no and continued to live in Ann Arbor and commute during his tenure. But now Governor Whitmer is back living there again, and yet they can still hold functions.
Yeah, so it has dual purpose now. I think it's exciting that the family's there. It was a gift to the state, and you know, we can now say we have an official residence where past governors would either have to stay in a hotel or travel from their own home. We have an official residence. While it's not as visually spectacular as some, you know, we have to remember that we have the summer residence, which is quite remarkable as well.
Thank you to our state archivist, Mark Harvey, giving us the history of Michigan's official governor's residence once more, housing a governor and family for the first time since Jennifer Granholm left office 8 years ago. Mark, thanks so much.
Thank you.